I mean, today is Pastor's Appreciation Day.
Amen.
Just to give you a little background, I was a pastor for several years, so I know everything he goes through. Been there, done that. And been there and done that, and been there and done that. So today we're going to talk a little bit about all the things a pastor has to do. How many knows there's a lot on his plate? You know, most people think, I have actually got to tell me one time, he said, you know, pastors and churches got it made. I said, yeah, why? He said, all they do is get up a couple times on Sunday and talk a little bit, and on Wednesday night, and they get paid for it. I said, right? You don't go to church, do you? No, he didn't. I had no idea. But today I want to talk a little bit about what a pastor does, and then we're going to have a little fun with the pastor. Anything wrong with that? Nah. All right. First, I want to tell you a story. Now, this possibly could have been the pastor at one time. How many know if it involves a lake where fish might be, he could be involved in it, right? So it could be him. But there was this man in Louisiana, and he decided that he wanted to join a faith of some kind. So he invited a Baptist preacher, a Methodist preacher, and a Church of God preacher to come to Louisiana. He wanted to talk to him and decide which one had the most faith. That's where he wanted to join. So they all ended up in Louisiana, and the old guy looks at him and says, well, says, here's what I want you to do. Get on my boat. That already got Pastor excited because he's getting on a boat. But they all got on a boat, and they went out in the middle of the water there. And the old guy says, now look around you. And they all looked around, and the place was infested with alligators. Had alligators everywhere. He looked a little bit more, and there were snakes all over the place. They're all kind of looking around. The old guy says, well, I tell you what. The one of you that jumps in the water first, I'm going to join your religion because you have faith. It no sooner got out of his mouth than the guy. But before that, the guy said, listen, not only that am I going to join your faith, but I'm going to give you a choice. You can have $100,000 for your church. You can have 100 acres of my best land. Or you can have my daughter's hand in marriage, whichever you want. You can choose. It no sooner stopped at that point than the Church of God preacher was in the water. Poof. Swimming for his life. Sharks coming in on him. He's getting out of that boat as fast as he can. Get back in that boat as fast as he can. He gets up and shakes the water off, and the old guy says, wow, boy, I want to join your faith because, you know, you didn't even hesitate. You were in the water. He says, well, I guess you want the $100,000 for your church, don't you? He looked up and says, no, don't want that. He says, well, I guess you want the 100 acres of prime land, right? He says, no, I don't want that either. He looked him in and says, well, I think you're already married. You don't want my daughter's hand in marriage, do you? He says, no, I don't want that either. He says, what do you want? The guy looked and says, I just want to know which one of them other two guys pushed me in. How many of you don't just become a pastor because you want to become a pastor. When I became a pastor, I ran from it for years. I didn't want any part of it because I read what the Word said about pastoring. You're held to a higher responsibility. Not only are you responsible for your own life, but you're responsible for everything that you tell the congregation. How many knows that's a big responsibility? So he's not just up here talking. He's up here sharing his heart, and he's sharing God's heart. Now, Jeremiah 3:15 says this. You got it up there. Do you have it? Hello? Jeremiah 3:15. It says, I will give you shepherds according to my heart. So how many knows in order to have a pastor or a shepherd, it has to come from God's heart. He's got to share God's heart. He will feed you with knowledge and understanding. How many knows it's not just his knowledge, but God's knowledge? Yes. Every time I pray, when I have to speak, I say, God, come your heart to my mouth, from my mouth to their heart. I just want to be a conduit. That's all I want to be. Just let it come through me. And I know pastors the same way. Because God wants to feed us. So that's the first thing that God wants to do, is feed us with knowledge and understanding. Now, Proverbs 27:23 says this. Be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend your herds. So he has to protect his flock. Everybody say, I'm a sheep.
I'm a sheep.
Everybody go, bah. I didn't think you'd do that. Okay, y'all obedient people. I like that. The state of the flock, and look well into the herd. Protect them. Protect them from what? The wiles of the enemy. How about the enemy wants you to get out of the flock? The enemy wants you to get out there by yourself so he can do what he wants to you. But here's the warning that I wanted to tell you. Jeremiah 23:1. Look at this. Woe to the shepherd who destroys and scatters the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. I don't like it when somebody says woe to me. When God says woe is that, I don't want any part of that. But we got to be careful. We got to know. We have to know what God wants. A pastor has to study and stay in the Word and be ready. In season and out of season, he's got to be ready. And it's not easy. But he's willing because he loves doing it. And the last scripture I have is 1 Peter 5:2-4. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for the dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor of being lords over the entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, he will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So there is a reward. How many knows every one of us are shepherds in our family? Every one of us have a family we have to shepherd over, right? Men, I'm talking to you first. You are the shepherd of your family. And it says right there that you are to be an example. To be an example. How many knows our pastor has to be an example? How many knows if a pastor does something that's really not good, the whole congregation looks at that and says, well, I guess I can do that too. So he's held under a real scrutiny and has to be real careful. Now, 2 Timothy 4:1-5. Look at this. Did I put that one up there? There it is. I charge you there before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. I'm just going to leave it right there. Preach the word. How many knows the word is what does its work? It's the word that saves. It's the word that reaches hearts. It's the word that converts. It's the word that lifts us up when we're down. It's the word that makes it come true, because the word is a living word of God. It's a living word. How many knows we can stand up here and pastor and preach or whatever you want to do, and everybody in here will get something different out of it, because it's a living word. It touches you directly where you're at. It's a living word. See, a lot of you don't know what a pastor does behind the scenes. But we're going to show you some of the things a pastor does behind the scenes. So at this time, with a hand of applause, I'm going to ask Pastor Dale to come up. Just stand right over here. Everybody can see you.
Okay. This is where I stand every week.
Yeah, might as well. You're used to it, so we put you in the same spot. Now, as you know, pastors have a lot to do. And sometimes we have to tell you what a pastor does. Now, I have a friend I want to come up. Oh, you're not who I thought you were. Who are you?
I'm a messenger.
A messenger?
A messenger.
Okay. Have you ever done this before?
I haven't, but friends have.
And what was their message?
Long, long ago, their message was, fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy.
Fear not. So that's good. So that you understand what that means? You have nothing to fear, right? You do not be worried about it, right? Okay, I'm glad you gave that message.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean not necessarily?
Pastor Dale, be afraid. Be very afraid of what comes next.
But I don't know where that came from. Okay, all right. Now, I want to talk to you first about Are you able to help your pastor? You know, sometimes we have to. But how can you help? Well, let's see some of the things he does first. Let's see. What in the world? Oh, hey.
Hello.
Who are you?
I am Pastor Pete.
Oh. Okay, Pastor Pete. Pastor Pete, where did you come from?
I came from church.
Oh. You're a pastor?
Yes.
What church do you pastor?
I pastored a church called PCOG.
PCOG? You
yes.
mean BCOG, right?
No,
we
no, no,
have
no.
A pastor for
no,
that.
No, no, no,
no.
PCOG.
PC. What does that stand for?
Puppet Church of God.
Oh, Puppet Church of God. Okay, all right. So now, wait a minute. We don't have a Puppet Church of God.
Yeah, we do.
We
just don't know about it.
Oh, where's your church at?
I can't tell you.
Why can't you tell us?
Because there's someone that would really get upset if he knew I was here.
Oh. Well, who is that?
Can't tell you.
Why?
Because he might be out there.
I don't know. Look around. Do you see him anywhere?
Nope. Don't see him.
All right, good. You can tell us now. You want to tell me? Oh. Wow. He said it's the clerk.
Yep.
The clerk, Joel?
Yep.
What would he do if he found out?
He would
out?
Get really upset.
Why?
He doesn't like us.
Why?
He says we do nothing but lay around.
Nothing but lay around. Well, that's pretty well true.
He says that the only time we ever do anything, somebody else always has a hand in it.
Okay. Well, Pastor, we sure are glad. Are you here to help today?
I am.
Good. So you've been a pastor. You know some of the things that go on, right?
Absolutely.
Well, let's see what.
Not an easy job.
Oh. But first, I have to get my trusted assistant. Everybody knows who Vanna White is? Raise your hand if you know who Vanna White is. Well, she's not here. But I have something even better. It's our trusted assistant, Miss Lisa Records. Yeah. Come out, Lisa. All right. She's here to help. Now, Pastor, I know that you do a lot of things. Now, the first thing you do is that you are can you hand it to me?
Oh, you want me to hand it?
Yes,
you?
I do
oh,
want you to
okay.
hand me that.
I got it. Got it.
Okay, thank you. You are, everybody knows, if you put it around your neck, you're a preacher, right? How many knows he's a good preacher, too? Amen? Matter of fact, I think he's a great preacher. What do you think about that? Thank you. Now, not only does he preach, but he has to do other things. But do you know what else he has to do?
Yep.
What's that?
He's a shepherd.
Oh, you shepherd. You got one of those?
No, I don't have one of them.
Okay. Oh, okay. Here we go. Oh, here comes the shepherd. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Lisa. Just hang on to that if you would. He's a shepherd. So we talked a little bit of what shepherds do, didn't we? He takes care of the flock. So that's a pretty good little handful right there already, isn't it? Yeah, we've only just begun. Are you? And then so, I guess that's all he does, right?
Nope.
Wait a minute, he preaches and he shepherds. That should be all he has to do.
Nope.
What else does he do?
He's a referee.
A referee?
Yep.
Now, you mean counselor.
Well, yeah, sometimes it can be a referee.
Yeah, it does get into refereeing sometimes. That's true. So, let's see if we can find something that says counselor that he does. He's a counselor, arbitrator, and sometimes referee. It should be okay.
Hang on, Pastor Dale. It's going to get worse.
Now, I know one thing that he does sometimes. You know, if something happens and there's a mess somewhere, you got to clean it up.
Yep.
And when you have to clean it up, what is it that you have to do?
Well, sometimes it involves a lot of different things, but usually it involves a broom.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big broom.
Yep. He has to clean up a lot of big messes.
Yeah, he does have to clean up messes around here, doesn't he? There you go. There you go. Wow. There you go. Yeah, don't drop any of that stuff now. You got to handle it all, okay? You got to handle everything. Okay. So now he's a janitor, he's a counselor, he's a referee, he's a preacher, he's a shepherd. Man, he's got his hands full. That's it, right?
It's going to get worse.
Oh.
I'm telling you, going to get worse.
Well, what else? Oh, I know what it is. You know, a pastor has to do all the visitation. How many know he's out to the hospitals? He visits people who are sick at home. He does that. He is on the go all the time. So he is the visitation person in the church, right?
Yep.
So that's things he has to do. That's part of his job. Oh, it's easy so far. That's not too hard a job, is it? He can handle all that, right? But is that it?
Nope.
There's more in there. You know one thing else he has to do? He's always trying to recruit volunteers. How many know sometimes a pastor has to stand up here and just almost beg people to help, right? We shouldn't have to do that, should we? You should be able to say, you know, there's a need, and people should jump up and say, how can I help? Doesn't happen that way. So he is a volunteer recruiter. You having fun yet? You can do that, right? It's no problem. Now, one other thing he has to do, he's dependent on, everybody depends on him to be the evangelist. How many know when I've heard people, and I've had people come to me, can you come see my brother so-and-so, or my friend so across the street? They need to get saved. They need Jesus. I mean, the best way to turn an enemy into a friend is to get them saved, right? So that's what a pastor has to do. He ends up having to go and try to talk to the people and becomes, he's the evangelist of the church, right? He does a good job at that too. Matter of fact, so far, all the things we've seen, he does very good at it. He's a good shepherd. He's a good counselor, janitor. He's a good person to visit, volunteer recruiter. Man, he can do it all. Well, then things happen around the church. How many of us, when stuff happens around the church, he gets the call?
Yep.
And I think you know what this one is, don't you?
Yep.
Yep. When there's a mess, pastor's to the rescue.
Some jobs really stink.
Yeah, those jobs really stink sometimes too, don't they? Wow. But so far, he's handling it pretty good. Now, what happens? You know, I remember not long ago, we were doing something, and we had to build something up there for a platform. Guess who was right there to do it? Pastor. He was right there to help build it. So, you know, sometimes he has to be a carpenter, doesn't he?
Yep.
And so a carpenter needs tools.
Yep.
Let's see what we got here.
Hang on just a minute. Okay. I got to find this.
See if you can find it. I know it's in there somewhere.
Oh,
we don't need that. Get something else.
Let's see here.
Well, there it is.
I got it.
Okay, good. I think there's a couple things we have to have for this one. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to make sure things are level, right? There you go. He's doing a good job, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's handling it all so far.
It's so, going to get worse.
Wait a minute. There's always got to have something. There's a hammer back there somewhere. Where's my hammer? There it is.
Here it is.
There it is right there. Oh, yeah. There you go. He has to do hammering. He has to put stuff together. He has to be a carpenter. So now we know he's a carpenter. He's a plumber. He's an evangelist. He's a recruiter, he does visitation, he's the janitor in the place, he's a counselor, he's a preacher, he's a shepherd. But that's not all.
Nope.
Nope. Sometimes he even sings.
He's a singer.
He's a singer.
And he's a really good singer.
Matter of fact, I think he's an excellent singer.
Absolutely.
We have a
Hold on a minute.
Come on. Thank you. So, he's doing a pretty good job. He's a singer sometimes. But you know what? He really likes to do something that he doesn't get to do as much as he wants to. But somehow he has to. How many times have your car broke down and Pat, you ask, Pastor, can you help me? Is there anything you can do? And he'll go out and see what he can do. He'll try to fix it for you. So he's a mechanic, right? He likes to mechanic. Now, that's something he likes to do, but he doesn't get to do it for himself very often, right? So we need to make sure we can help him with mechanic, okay?
Okay. Hold on just 1 minute.
Okay.
Nope.
No, that's too small. That's way too small. He's got big jobs to do. Oh, you all right? You okay? Oh, wow. Wow. Don't let this hit your toe, okay? Boy, he's doing a great job. And give him a hand. He's actually handling all that. But we're not done yet. There's still more he has to do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many times he had to fill in for musicians somewhere? Because they had to do something. He plays the drums. He plays the guitar. He does a little bit of everything. So,
okay, I can fix this.
You can fix that? You got something for that? Yeah. I don't know. Oh, hey, he's got it. He's okay. So he's also a musician. Now, here's the one that I thought was interesting. How many know there's always something going on in a church, and he has to put out the fire, right? There's a problem over here, there's a problem over there, and you just got to go put it out, right? He's a fireman in the church. And what does a fireman need? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Fireman needs a fire extinguisher. Oh, this ought to be interesting. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with this one. You got it? This is heavy. Got it? No, he don't got it. I better take that one.
I will have it for a little
bit. Well, if you want it, we're going to let you have it. There you go.
No, put it right there.
Just trying to help.
I'm just glad he's a young man. That's the old guy.
And there's a couple
problems.
More. You know, not only does a pastor have to do the, he's a fireman. He works on cars, he's a musician, he's a singer, he's a carpenter, he goes all the way down to a shepherd. He does all those things, but he also has to be the CEO of the church. How many know the church has business things they have to do, right? And he has to take charge of that. He's the CEO of the church. No, we can't sit that one down. That one's got to be held. You can never let this go. That's it. What's your thumb? Got it? Good. Got it? Good. Now, you know, there's a big box here, too. We can't do this one. That would never fit. But this is an important box. This is important something that he does. But we have to wait on this one, okay? I have one more. How many knows he's also a teacher? Oh, but I forgot something important before we do that one. How many knows he can't do any of this without the Word? Amen. And how many knows the bigger the better? Got it? You gotta handle it. We gotta have the Word, right? He's gotta stay in the Word. All 26 translations there. He's gotta stay in the Word. Now, he's also gotta be a teacher. Oh. He's got a nose itch too, but just put it right on top there. Yeah, on top, no, top of the Bible, yeah. You can handle it. Keep going. You got it? Oh, yes. Very good. Very good. Now, Lisa, you know, we need to make sure this box gets on there, because this is the one a pastor has the most trouble balancing in his life. But I don't see no place for it. Now, it would be wonderful if someone or somebody would come help him with some of this stuff. It'd be good if we had volunteers or somebody say, Pastor, let me help. Just take one. Oh, great. What is this? What are you people doing? Wow. Okay, wow, that's great. Did you see that? All these now look. Now you have to hold on to that one. You have to keep that one, because you always got to have the word no matter what. Wow, look. Now he can handle it.
Yes.
Now we have to give him the big one. This one is tough.
That's the one that he really needs help with.
Yeah, this is one that's the big balancing act. Go ahead. He also, no longer does he have to run the church, but he has to be a family man. Pastor, I want you to know that you don't have to handle this alone. You've got a good family that's going to help you do that. Amen? Amen. How many knows the pastor has a lot to do? But
yes.
The burden can come lighter when we help. Amen? Give the pastor a big hand. Now we've talked about shepherds. I'm going to take just a minute to talk about sheep. How many knows there's sheep in the church, right? That's his flock. You are the sheep of the church. But unfortunately, in the church, not only do you have sheep, but you have goats. The Bible talks a lot about sheep and goats. Sheep are, they're usually pretty good. They usually stay around, stay herded, listen, obey. And then one thing about sheep, they love their shepherd. They follow that shepherd anywhere. You can take 1,000 sheep with 25 different shepherds and separate them all, put them all together and separate the shepherds, and they start calling their name, and guess what? They'll separate out and all go to their shepherd because they know their shepherd's voice. Just like we know the great shepherd, amen? The chief shepherd. But sometimes goats are there. Sheep need a shepherd. Goats need a goat herder. Goats, we take sheep and we protect them from the environment, right? A shepherd does. When everything on the outside is trying to get to the sheep, he protects them. With a goat, we have to protect the environment from the goat, right? They're out taking care of everything outside. Sometimes a goat is independent. It's destructive. It's a goat sometimes wants to have its own way. Sometimes a goat doesn't care what everybody else needs. It's what I need. I mean, a goat sometimes will go and eat anything in its way just because they want to. So sheep, on the other hand, are fed by the pastor. Oh, I bet you didn't know this story. This is true. Do you know that you can sneak up behind a sheep and scare it and it'll just fall over? It's true. Just boom, it'll just fall over. And do you know if a sheep gets on its back with its feet up in the air, it can't turn over. It'll die. It'll lay there and die. So a sheep is so needful of a shepherd. How many needs a shepherd today? I don't know about you, but I need one. We need shepherds, don't we? But I want to tell you something. If we're a sheep and we push, take, destroy, bully, always want it our way, don't think of others but only of ourselves, we're not a sheep, but we're a goat. Some may look like a sheep, but they're a goat in sheep's clothing. Some are destructive. And sometimes a goat even doesn't even realize it's destructive, trying to have it their way. Matthew 7:21, look at this. I'm getting ready to close here in a second. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but who does the will of my Father in heaven. Wow. Not everyone who said, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. I saw a survey that was done last year, and over 50% of all people who regularly attend church are not even Christian. That's amazing, isn't it? They don't even know Jesus Christ as their Lord. So we have to be careful. Make sure. Does anybody here want to enter the kingdom of God? Raise your hand if you want to enter the kingdom of God. Well, there's something you have to do. You have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You have to be a sheep. You have to be an obedient sheep. 50%, that really startled me a little bit when I saw that. And the last scripture I want to read, Matthew 25:32-46. And it's important we read this one. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from the other. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will, you didn't let me finish. And he will set the sheep in the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? When did we see a stranger, take him in, or naked, and clothe you? Or did we see the sick, or in prison, and come to you? And the king will answer and say unto them, assuredly, I say it to you, insomuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then he also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did you see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and did not minister unto you? Then he will say unto them, saying, surely I say unto you, insomuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous enter eternal life. It's pretty strong, isn't it? But it's so true. I know we've had some fun today, but I wanted to finish with this strong, that the pastor's not up here just to pay his lips to be together. He's here for a purpose, to lead you to eternal life. That's what he's here for. That's the whole purpose. You know, as I finish this, there's only one thing that can hurt God. Only one thing can hurt God. And you know what that is? And that's you not being in the kingdom with him. That's the only thing that will hurt God. Nothing else will. And so the enemy's main goal is one thing: keep you from him. Devil doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about anything you do, anything you say. All he wants you to do is not get to heaven to punish God. That's all he can do. Because he knows his time's coming. How many know it's coming soon? How many believe eternity is right in front of us? So I want to ask you this question this morning. And it's an important question. And we have to do this ever so often. We have to do a check. So I want you to bow your head and shut your eyes for just a second to listen. But I want you to be honest. If the heavens opened right now and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords stepped out of heaven, would you be going with him? Would you be going with him? Are you sure? Have you made that commitment to him? Have you asked him to come into your life? But here's the key. Have you made him Lord of all? That's the key. He has to be Lord of all. You can't give him 98% and keep 2%. He's a jealous God. He just wants to be your God, period. So this morning I ask you, is there anybody in this congregation this morning that can truly say, you know, this morning I'm not sure. There's a couple things in my life that might keep me out. There's some things going on. Maybe I've kind of gone in the wrong direction of not doing the exact things I need to be doing. But this morning, God is speaking to my heart, and I need to get things right. Because eternity could start in a flash. Where will you spend it? So anyone in this under the sound of my voice this morning that says, I need to get it right with God. I'm not a horrible person, but I just need to get it right with God. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up and put it back down. I see hands. I see hands this morning. Hands all over. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give it one more second. I really feel in my heart that some people are not being honest with themselves. And I want to give you every opportunity. I'm not going to force you or not going to try to draw it out of you. I just want you to make that decision. If you truly mean this morning that you want to get it right with God, I'm going to ask you to stand up out of your seat and come up here real quick. Pastor, come on up with me. If you raised your hand, come on up. Some of you raised your hand, but you're not up here. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. This may be the only chance you get. He doesn't promise us tomorrow. I want you to listen to me, then we're going to pray for you.
Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
When you make that commitment to Christ, you can look at me. I want you to look right in my eyes. We're not going to sneak. We're not going to sneak into this. We're coming straight forward. We're coming right to him right now. I want you to look him. I want you to be able to look him in the eyes and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Say that, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't lived the life that I'm supposed to. I've done things that I'm ashamed of. And I've said things I shouldn't have said. But today, Lord, say it out loud. But today, Lord, it's a different day. I ask you to forgive me for what I've done. And I ask you to come into my heart. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Make me whole. And I am yours today, Lord. I am yours. No way am I turning back. I'm staying with you this time. I believe you died for me. And you rose from the dead. And I now call you Lord. Lord of my life. My Savior and my friend. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to begin to thank him right now. As we come to you, we're going to pray with you and just confirm. Hallelujah. Spirit of God is heavy in this place. It's everywhere you are. Just keep praying. Just keep thanking Him. It's not a quick thing. It's just something you continue thinking. Does anyone in this place today need a healing in their body? I just felt there's someone here right now that's in aches and pains. God wants to touch you right now. Just come on up if that's you. Just walk up here right now real quick. God wants to heal that body this morning. I mean, no, He's the Creator, right? He created it all. He can put it the way it needs to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sister Lisa.